I taught a couple Sunday afternoons, a couple weeks ago on a Sunday afternoon, I'd already taught the first 16 verses in John 6. We talked about the story of the five loaves and two fishes, and that message was entitled The Mathematics of a Miracle, The Mathematics of a Miracle. But we're going to continue here this morning in John chapter 6, and I want to talk to you this morning about the living bread. Turn with me, if you would, to I want to begin by reading to you a couple verses in John chapter 20. I want to read to you a couple verses in John chapter 20, and then we're going to come back and focus on the story and what happens here in John 6. So if you can turn there with me. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for your word. I do thank you for the gospel of John. It is so full of the gospel, so full of going, so full of the message that brings life and light, eternal life to man. And Lord, it's also a book that really reminds us so much about the need to go with the gospel and help bring the gospel to others. Help us, Lord, to care. Help us to be concerned, to realize that lost souls need to hear about the gospel. They need to hear about Christ. Help us to seek to win them. Help us to sow seeds of the gospel. Help us to pray for those we know that are lost, that need to be born again, that need salvation. Help us to care for others. Speak to our hearts today with this message, Lord. If there's anyone that is not saved, would you please convict their heart and convince them of their sin and convince them of their need for the Savior? That, Lord, for those that are saved, would you also make it applicable to our hearts and teach us and challenge us today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Gospel of John, and again, we're going to start by reading a verse there in John chapter 20. You're probably already there before me. In John chapter 6, listen to me for a moment, and then we'll read these verses. In John chapter 6, Jesus performed the miracle of feeding the thousands of people with just five loaves and two fishes. Why really did he do that? I think in reality, he wanted an opportunity to teach about himself. Yes, he cared for the people. Yes, it had been a long day. The people were tired. The people were hungry. But I think he did it as another opportunity to teach about himself. And it would be an opportunity that he would be able to teach them about the true bread. There that day, he performed a miracle and he fed them with five loaves and two fishes. He multiplied it so that it fed the crowds of people. But it would be an opportunity afterwards to teach about the true bread. An opportunity to teach about the living bread so that the people would what? So that the people might believe on him. That's really why Jesus came. He came so that people might believe. He wanted people to believe on him. And notice what it says in John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31. This really gives the reason why Jesus performed the miracles that he did. John 20 and verse number 30, you're looking at it with me. John 20 verse 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. You know, the Bible says, really, he did even far more miracles than what we have recorded in the Gospels. Verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Look back with me to John chapter 6 now, if you would. And I want us to pick up the story in John chapter 6 and verse number 22. He has fed the multitudes of people back in the early verses of this chapter. And now we find, as we come down to verse 22, we find some crowds of people wanting to find Jesus. Crowds of people wanting to find Jesus. Notice what it says in John chapter 6. And go ahead and stand with me if you would, please. John, let's stand together as we read these scriptures. John chapter 6, verse 22 to verse 24. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping. They got on ships and so on and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. A day before, Jesus had fed them with bread. Now the disciples' boat is gone. They don't know where Jesus is. And so they all get on ships to cross Galilee, to go to Capernaum, to look for Jesus, to seek for Jesus. Thank you. You can be seated. Jesus knew something, though, about this crowd. When we just look at these verses and read it simply, it seems like, yes, they're looking for Jesus. Yes, they want to find Jesus. But listen, Jesus knew that they were really not seeking him as much as they were just seeking another meal. Notice what it says in verse 25 and 26. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracle, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Jesus knew really the intentions of their heart, that they were really not seeking him. They were just maybe seeking him because, you know, he did something for us in feeding us bread. Maybe he'll do something for us again. They weren't seeking to know Jesus as much as maybe they were just seeking what something that Jesus could do for them humanly or physically. They wanted what Jesus could do for them more than what they really wanted him. They were just seeking that which could sustain them and give them physical life, such as the bread and fish had done. But Jesus told the crowds of people that they ought to be seeking that which could give them everlasting life. And when he did that, he was, of course, referring to himself. Notice what it says in verse 27. It says, John 6, 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Hey, when the crowds came that day, and they came seeking, and they got on their Viva boats, and they came looking that day, they weren't coming looking because, hey, I want to know Jesus. They were coming and hoping, hey, can Jesus give us some meat again? Can Jesus give us some bread again? Can Jesus feed us again another time? Can Jesus take care of us once again? Jesus knew they were not really seeking eternal life, everlasting life. They were just seeking physical life. And he tries to tell them there in verse 27, what you need to labor for, what you need to seek for, what you ought to be desiring is not just the physical life that I could give you or some miracle I could perform for you or some way that I could do something for you. You need to seek me. You need to seek everlasting life through believing on me. Listen, everlasting life cannot be received by working for it. It can only be received by faith, by believing on Jesus Christ. Notice John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. Then said they unto him, what shall we do? You're looking at it so you can read it with me. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Understand something. Jesus says, I'm the one that can give you everlasting life, and that's what you ought to be seeking for. That's what you ought to be laboring for, he said. But understand this. It's not something that you can work for. It's something that you can only receive by believing on me and believing on the one that sent me. If you believe on God the Father and believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how you can have eternal life. It's not something, remember their question? What shall we do? It doesn't matter what we do. It matters what he's done for us to provide for us a way to have everlasting life. Just as it truly was God and not Moses that had provided the people of Israel with bread to eat in the wilderness. Some of you, those of you that know some stories from the Bible, you remember the Old Testament story where God provided manna to eat in the wilderness for his people? God provided bread for them to eat, if you will, out in the wilderness. It wasn't just Moses that did that. It was God, understand it, that provided that. Just like God did that for his people back in the wilderness, it was God that would provide the true bread. It was God that would provide the living bread. It was God that could do so much more for them than the bread or the manna in the wilderness had done. That bread in the wilderness only sustained them physically. But now Jesus is saying, I can give you that, the true bread. I can give you the living bread. I can give you that bread which will give you everlasting life. Again, understand the bread in the wilderness, the man in the wilderness could only give them physical life, but Jesus now was saying, I can give you everlasting life. Notice what it says, verse 31 to 33. John 6, verse 31 to 33. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. If a person will come to Jesus, and if a person will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be saved. They can be forgiven of their sins and have eternal life. He should not have to even give us a sign, truthfully. He shouldn't have to give us a sign. He shouldn't have to give us a sign of a miracle, and maybe he does this, and so because of this physical miracle, this physical bread, that we would believe on him. He shouldn't have to do that. He wants you and me to just come to him in faith and believe. Those that came, or those that come, rather, he will receive. I want you to notice with me John chapter 6. Notice verse 34 to 37. If you will come unto him, the one that is the true bread, the one that cometh down from heaven, and believe on him, he will receive you. John chapter 6, verse 34 to verse number 37. It says, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, what does it say? I will in no wise cast out. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Him that comes to Jesus, he's not going to cast you out. Those that want to come to Jesus, he's not going to reject you. Those that want to believe on Jesus, he's not going to say, no, sorry, it's not for you. Those that will come to him, those that will believe on him, he will receive you. You know, some wanted to doubt Jesus' words. Some wanted to doubt that he was the true bread sent down from heaven. How sad that is. Notice what it says in verse 41 and 42. John 6, 41 and 42. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Some began to murmur against him because of Jesus claiming to be the bread come down from heaven. Verse 42 says, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Listen, they didn't understand. Joseph wasn't his father. Jesus was sent from heaven, wasn't he? Conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, he was sent through Mary and born of Mary, but he was the son of God sent down from heaven. Listen, some here began to murmur, some began to doubt, some wanted to question his words. Let me tell you something, don't be a doubter, don't be a scoffer, don't be one who would criticize God's words or reject God's words. He's not here to walk the earth with us today. Jesus is not here to come out to the park today and perform a miracle to multiply, you know, a little lunch and make it feed thousands. He's not here walking on the earth, but we still do have his words. And we need to simply believe on his words in faith. Don't be a doubter, a scoffer, or a rejecter, because those that do that will be lost. Those that will reject his words will be lost. but all those who will believe will have everlasting life. Have you believed? Notice what it says in verse 47, John 6, 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that believeth on me, he says, his word, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the true bread. Jesus Christ is the living bread. And if I can say it this way, if you will eat of him, you will never die. If you will eat that true bread, if you will eat that living bread, if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never die. You will have eternal life. Do we face a physical death? Yes. Yes, but the soul, the part inside of us, that part lives forever. And we have eternal life. We have everlasting life promised to us and a home in heaven. Eat of him. Eat of the true bread. Eat of the living bread and you will never die. You will never die. Notice what it says in verses 47 to 51. John 6, verse 47 to 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are what? What does the Bible say? They're dead. I mean, they ate that manna in the wilderness, but they're dead. Why? Because that bread can't sustain them. That bread can't give everlasting life. That bread can't give eternal life. That was just temporary. That was just physical. But I am the living bread. I am the true bread, Jesus said, and I can give you everlasting life. Verse number 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. He shall live forever. I heard a song when I was young. I'm going to live forever. Yeah. I'm going to die. No, never. No. Jesus died on the cross for me. And I'm gonna live forever. Hey, I have forever life. I have everlasting life. I'm gonna live forever because I've eaten of the true bread, the living bread. I know Jesus Christ in my life. I've believed on him and I have that promise. Jesus Christ, who is described as the Word in John chapter 1 and verse 14, it tells us the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ, the Word, became flesh. He left heaven. He came down to earth. He was born of a virgin, born there in Bethlehem. He lived a perfect life. He lived a sin life like no other man could ever do, because all men are born sinners with a sin nature. We're born from sinful blood. But Jesus did not have the blood of Joseph. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. He did not have sin-tainted blood. He was perfect and sinless, and he never sinned. He never yielded to temptation. When Satan tried to tempt him in the wilderness, he would not sin. He would not do wrong. He was perfect. He was sinless. But then he laid down his life on the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins. In a very allegorical or symbolic way, what he was telling the people was hard for them to understand. I'm the bread, you know, and eat of that bread and you're going to live. I'm bread, so eat me. They didn't quite understand it. But in the spiritual sense, he was trying to teach them how, listen, your forefathers, they were only sustained physically by that bread which was physical, and they still died. But I am the true bread and I am the living bread, and if you eat of me, believe on me, you can have eternal life. It was maybe hard for them to understand, and so Jesus began to try to reveal to them the truth that his body would be broken. And in some of the verses here in John 6, he's trying to tell them how my body will be broken. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer. My body will be broken. My blood will be shed to pay for your sins so that you can have eternal life. Some misunderstood even that, what he was telling them. And they thought that Jesus was literally telling them they would have to eat his body or eat his flesh and drink his blood to have this everlasting life that Jesus spoke about. But listen, that was nonsense. That was nonsense. It wasn't, you know, Jesus isn't some sort of weird, you know, vampire type thing. They did not literally have to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. What he tried to tell them in some verses that were very allegorical, very symbolic, was, listen, very soon, I'm going to be going to the cross. My body will be broken. Just as the bread was broken, my body will be broken. My blood will be shed. My blood will spill out on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins. And if you believe on me, you will have everlasting life. Notice what the Bible says in John 6. Go down to verse 59 to 62. John 6, verses 59 to 62. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can understand it? Who can accept this?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples remembered at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" You know, he's reminding the Son of Man, yes, he will soon die. He will soon be buried. He will rise again and he will ascend back to heaven where he came from. He told them that he was going to die. He told them that he was going to ascend back to heaven to where he came from. And it was not physically his flesh or his body that they must eat. It was his words that he was referring to. They must believe the words that he spoke. They must believe on him. Notice John 6 and verse 63 and 64. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." The word "quickeneth" in the Bible means to make alive. To make alive, to bring to life. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." It's not going to be, you know, in answering to their thoughts, it's not going to be eating of my body that's going to give you life. No, it's going to be eating of my words. It's the words. They are spirit. They are life. It's them that quicken. It's them that bring life and give life. He says in verse 64, "But there are some of you that believe not." How sad that would be. That Jesus could look at the disciples and Jesus could see some and know that there's some that believe, but there's some that believe not. I would hate to be here this morning and be in church and think, well, I know that some will believe, but there are going to be some that believe not. I think that would break the heart of Jesus even more, but it would break my heart to know that some believe and some believe not. Some will believe on Christ and some will believe not. They'd rather hold on to traditions. They'd rather hold on to some religion. They'd rather hold on to some personal belief. They'd rather just trust in themselves. No, give all that up and believe the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because he is the only one that can save. Verse 64, "But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him." What must we do? Eat his word. Believe his word. Receive his word. Eat his word. Believe his word. Receive his word. Notice verses 66 to 68. John chapter 6, verse 66 to 68. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." What a sad verse. I mean, crowds of people that were disciples per se, that were following Jesus and giving attention to Jesus, but maybe all along they were just following Jesus. They liked to see miracles. They liked it when he fed them with bread and fish. They liked some of the things that he could do for them. But when he gave them some words that were hard, when he spoke to them saying, "You must believe on me," some believed not. Some refuse to believe. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Listen, you have a choice. You have a choice, just like Jesus gave them a choice. There was people that were turning back, people that were going back, people that walked no more with him, people that followed him no longer. And Jesus says to the 12, will ye go away also? Listen, you've got a choice this morning. Will you walk away or will you follow him? Will you reject the word of Jesus or will you believe the words of Jesus? Will you reject God's plan of salvation, God's way of salvation that is by grace alone, through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you reject that or will you believe that? You have a choice to walk away or to follow him. You have a choice to believe his words or to reject them. Listen, God made it very clear. He performed that physical miracle of feeding them with bread and fish so that he would have this opportunity to then teach them, I am the true bread. I am the living bread. You need to eat of me. You need to believe on me. What I am going to be doing in just a few days after he's talking to them, in just a short time, not long after, you're going to have to believe in the gospel. And we have that choice today. You have that choice today. Will you believe in the gospel? Will you believe that Jesus was sent down from heaven? Some didn't want to believe that. Will you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Will you believe that he was sinless and perfect, and when he died on the cross, it was for you and for your sins? It was for me and for my sins? His body was broken and his blood was shed to suffer and pay the penalty for sin. He died for our sins so we could have that everlasting life. Will you believe his words? Will you believe in the gospel? Will you trust in Jesus Christ? Will you believe in the one who is the true and living bread? Will you believe in the only one that can give you everlasting life? I say hang everything else and believe on him. Forget religion. Trust in the one thing that can give you hope for eternity, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true bread. He is the living bread. Sometimes people chase after things that they can't give them everlasting life, but Jesus can. Will you reject him or believe on him? Will you turn away from him or will you follow him? It's really your choice. It's your choice. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the story and the words of Jesus. There's a whole passage that is the words of Jesus trying to convey to people that he is their only hope. He is the true bread. He is the living bread. He is the only one that can give people life to the point that they will never die. They'll never perish. And Lord, that is what we must seek after. We must seek Christ. Lord, help us not to be ones who are just seeking what Jesus could do for us, but to seek Jesus. Help us not to trust in our own way of salvation, but to trust in God's way. And that's through his Son, Jesus Christ.